Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 569 by Blitz Beta, recorded live on January 31st, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And Blitz is gone.
Yes.
Tis very sad. Sad day. But it will come back to us in 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Just three short weeks. That's all. You know what the sucky part is? Well, kind of sucky, but not really sucky. I'm going to be in Iceland when the game releases.
You're going to be where?
In Iceland.
Iceland?
Yeah. Family vacation.
In Iceland?
Yep.
In winter?
Yep. Believe it or not, it's the perfect time to actually see Northern Lights and do stargazing and outer space photography.
Yeah, but it's winter.
Yeah.
It's cold. Like, really cold.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure how cold it is in Iceland compared to what it is, I guess, here right now. I'm going to look that up right now.
Iceland, it's called Iceland.
Yeah, but... You know,
how cold
Iceland's
do you want
green,
it? How do you?
Iceland's the green one, and Greenland's the icy one, if you can believe it or not. Anyways,
somebody has a really bad sense of humor then.
I know, right? So the weather there's actually not too bad. It's a little bit above freezing, which isn't too different from here. We've been kind of hovering around freezing for the past few days, so that's nothing new. But yes, it is cold, and it's actually really rainy this week, heading into next week. I digress. Halo, Blitz. that ended over the weekend. Well, actually, it ended technically yesterday. But we only had a partial day on Monday, so kind of the weekend in a way.
Yeah, I missed out.
Yeah,
I got home did and too. It was already turned off.
I think it turned off around 6 p.m. Eastern yesterday, which was 3 p.m. And that was kind of coinciding with the tweet that they put out. I had loaded up the beta on my PC, and I had intended to play it, but I ended up calling my mom instead since it's been a week or so since I talked to her. But
well, that was probably more important.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was on Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday I got to play another 4 games of Blitz, and I actually went off of what I normally play as my leader, which was Cutter, and I tried a little bit of Anders and Isabel with the 20 free packs that they gave us for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Needless to say, I lost every game.
I actually had really good luck with Decimus. I don't know why.
I didn't try any of the Covenant or technically Banished leaders. I do intend to whenever the game actually comes out and have a few different games to try with them.
The weird part is Decimus I do well with. Atriox I sucked at.
I have a feeling there's a few leaders that are going to be like that where they're kind of the same faction, but with how the cards kind of play and the different leader restricted cards may kind of lean towards certain people's play styles over others.
Oh yeah. It's definitely going to be one of those type setups where certain decks are going to work well with certain people and not so well for other people. You know, in the original Halo Wars, you know, I actually enjoyed playing Anders. You know, I had a lot of fun, but in the Blitz, I couldn't quite figure her out.
So whenever I was at the preview event, I switched between, well, I started with Anders and then I went to Cutter and then I kind of stayed with Cutter. But Anders is kind of like my second from what I've played so far. Granted, I still haven't played any of the Banished, but Anders and Cutter are kind of my two primaries at the moment. We'll see after the beta how that changes. But as far as kind of building decks, the UNSC leaders are the times I actually spent the most on building the decks. So I originally did a deck build out of Cutter during the first weekend that we had the Blitz beta. And then once the second week rolled around and started unlocking all the cards, I actually ended up getting a lot of Anders, Isabel, and Shipmaster cards. So I actually built out those decks and I just didn't get around to doing a Shipmaster run. I actually had a lot of, well, even though I lost, I felt I had some pretty good success with the Anders deck that I built.
I mean, I only had one or two games where, you know, I absolutely got smoked.
I had a few of those games.
don't get me wrong, I had several games where I lost in a spectacular way.
Which was?
Well, as you know, like 200-5.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like as in a certain strategy was employed against you or something. But okay. Yeah, there was one game my first weekend that I played, and I think I actually mentioned this on the podcast, where I sent one, I think it was a Hornet or whatever, I had a flying vehicle, probably the Nighthawk, sent it out to a point to start capping it early, and got 4 points, and then we didn't score a single point afterwards. So I know that struggle. But the Blitz beta is over. We have a little bit of feedback from just kind of our playing, and we managed to get a submission from somebody.
We did?
We did. We actually got one, but it's a submission nonetheless.
Hey, it's a submission.
Some lucky person is going to get a Jinx t-shirt. And since he's the only one, I might throw one of the Prima guys in there too.
Ooh, special bonus.
Ding, 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 ding. I told people, and then I posted on social media. Oh, well.
Must pay attention to win.
Yep. And that person did. So he won. So I'll get to that here in a little bit. But one of the things I want to kind of go through is the latest community update that got posted by Sketch last week. So, of course, the Blitz beta was still going on at the time. There was a little video that Sketch and Grim put together with some of their tips that they had on playing Halo Wars 2. And they had Ice Spiteful playing along with them. So a little bit of community involvement was pretty cool. They had a little bit more information on kind of how, or some tips on building decks and kind of map control stuff, which we covered a good portion of it last week. But there's a few other things in here that they actually added from the community. So I wanted to put in some pro tips that they submitted in, because a lot of the stuff that we went over last week, they kind of summarized up in some of the tips that they gave. But some of the pro tips that they got from the Halo community was the Nightingale smoke ability is something that isn't utilized very much. You trigger it with Y if you're on the Xbox One, and R if you're on PC, and it kind of cloaks any unit that's in the area until a unit actually enters the smoke and then the unit's revealed. But the smoke also disables weapons. So if you are maybe getting some reinforcements from your base and you want to kind of halt the battle until you can kind of get your reinforcements there, you can use the Nightingale, which a lot of the loadouts, at least on the UNSC side, can start with a Nightingale. Granted, it depends on what your starting army is and what you choose to select with it. But if you have that set, then make sure you use that ability to kind of get a start. And is it the Nightingale that's the starter? Or is that the one that's a little bit more? Maybe not. There's a flying vehicle.
No, I think the Nightingale is a different one.
Okay. Different flying vehicle, so my bad. Anyways, if you have a Nightingale in your deck, that's actually a pretty good one. I think the Nightingale is a detect vehicle, but I don't think it has any weapons on it. Or that maybe that's just a scout one that I'm getting confused. But regardless, that smoke ability, that actually used that in one of my later games from this past weekend, and it managed to kind of block the enemy for a little bit, and we eventually got taken over on that point, so it didn't help out too much, but it did kind of slow some of the progress down and allow some of my teammates to get some backup in there, even though we ended up losing the point. So the next tip that is from the crowdsource collection is the guard ability means that enemy units will always target that unit first before attacking other nearby units. So, for example, hunters on the banished side are actually a guard unit, so the other team's units will target those guard units, and those guard units will actually take a lot of damage on behalf of your other units. So if you have a unit that maybe has a strong attack but very weak defense, you can mix this in with another unit that has a very good guard ability. So that's the second one. Third one is just being mindful of energy drops and mobility. So whenever you are expecting energy drop, you want to make sure you have a Warthog or Chopper or Ghost or any kind of fast moving ground vehicle, not a flying vehicle, because even though they're fast and they can kind of go over terrain, and they can attack the energy. They can't collect energy. It has to be a ground unit to collect the energy.
Yeah, that's kind of bites.
It does. It sucks a little bit. And it took me a while whenever I was first playing Blitz to figure out that the flying units, even though they could attack the energy, they couldn't collect it. And sometimes, like, that's the unit I want to send over because it's quickest to get there. So I've started, like, trying to have a Warthog in reserve. And then if I'm holding A, there's usually the three little energy drop spots that go above A. So if we're controlling A, I'll keep one group or two groups of Marines or ODSTs up on A, and then I'll send them up to get the energy, and I'll put them back at A.
Yeah. I usually try to keep one land vehicle just for energy collection, and I'll send it over there by the energy. Nice thing is it's a pretty predictable spawn as far as, you know, where the different energy cores actually spawn. So you can kind of, once you play a few games, you can kind of predict where you need to put that unit next. You know, it's all in just learning the map.
I don't know how many maps are going to be in the final game for Blitz. Hopefully some of the strategies are going to be crossed over or similar. If not, there's going to be some vast strategy learning, and maybe that'll come kind of be a point where you actually make different decks or engineer a particular leader that might fit a certain map style. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's why they give you the option of having the three decks, so you can have options. Different decks for different play styles.
We'll have to see how that turns out. The next pro from the community is talking about the Nightingale's ability again. it's very overpowered against the Condor and the Scarab. It looks like the Nightingale's ability. So it says, if the enemy drops a Scarab or Condor on you, instantly use the Nightingale's ability on it and move your troops under it. Then when it wears off, use your second. Scarab and Condor would disappear before right after it wears off, rendering it useless. So, wow, that is kind of crazy. So, if someone gets a Scarab or a Condor, then use the Nightingale abilities, and it disables the ship from being able to fire. Use its weapons. Yeah.
Good. That is a nice counter to a Scarab or a Condor.
That is a very nice counter.
That's because those units are not the easiest to counter. For a relatively low cost unit, you can, you know, get something that will counter those really high end units pretty easily.
I had no idea. And now I'm going to be using that tip for sure. Make sure someone on my team has a Nightingale ready for whenever someone wants to drop in one of those. Or maybe just have one on each team. That's the fourth tip. So two tips to the Nightingale. Apparently a very underutilized unit. Something to keep in mind. The last tip is, if you want all your units to move to a spot at their own pace, select the units, then quickly press right trigger followed by X to individually scroll through each unit type and manually get them to move via their separate commands. So if you want to do like an all units or local units, you can scroll through the different unit types and then get them to go over to that unit. So that's kind of important if you have a mix of vehicles and ground troops, because they move at different rates. So that's actually something I use whenever I am at the start of a game. I usually send whatever flying vehicle or whatever vehicle I have to the Charlie point, and then I'll send the rest of my units to Bravo minus maybe one troop set that will go and collect the first thing of energy.
Yeah, that's a good strategy. It's kind of similar to what I do. You know, I'll send my one of my fast units to take care of the, trying to capture that first point. That way I can start scoring as soon as possible.
Yep. I mean, it sounds like that's kind of what we did whenever we got our blowout matches of we got our first few points and then we didn't get any point after the first few seconds. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, you've got to, as well as, you know, capturing the points, you need to build your army as well. I actually had a game where guys kept pulling locusts, the blood fuel locusts, and they are incredibly effective against everything.
They are a pain.
You know, they're listed as building killers. They kill everything. They are mini scarabs. And what the guy was doing, he was cycling his deck until he pulled one of his locusts, and then he'd buy it. After that, you know, he just keeps cycling his deck until he pulled that locust up. And he just kept buying locust after locust after locust. By the middle of the game, he had probably 10, 15 locusts on the map. And his partner was doing the same thing. I was playing with pins, and there was not anything I could do. I mean, just to thin him out, I dropped a scarab, and then right after that, I dropped the leader power extraction beam or whatever it is. I forget what they call it. But where you have the six beams that start wide and come down into one focus shot.
Right. The cleansing beam. So is it not the cleansing beam?
No, it's not the cleansing beam. It's, I forget what it's called. I could probably look it up if I really want. And that thinned them out, but it didn't eliminate them. Between a scarab and that, it should have wiped that area clean, but it didn't. It's still, he had an invulnerability card he played or something, but it just was. So I tried the strategy and it freaking works.
Nice. Eric Ibu is saying it's the extrication.
Yeah, extrication.
Okay.
I knew it started with an E.
So Eric Ibu is saying, and it looks like a couple other people in the Twitch chat are saying, that they start off with focusing on resources and then capping a point, because some of the energy spawns are predictable.
Yeah, the energy spawns are very predictable.
I know. For some reason, I think getting that first couple of extra seconds on the point may help kind of throw the other team off a little bit and kind of refocus on where they're going.
Well, I mean, the deal is, if you capture first 2 points, just capture them. You don't have to hold them. Just capture them. You know, because only 2 energy cores spawn at the beginning of the match. One's close to them, one's close to you. The deal is, no matter what unit you have, you're not going to make it to their core before they can extract it. And even if you did, your unit would probably die before it got there. So, you know, you capture your core, and then you capture your plates, and, you know, while you're doing all that, you continually build your army.
Yeah, so something I'll do.
Yes, Eric Ibu, I know it's possible to get theirs, but it's not very likely.
So the thing I kind of focus on is getting a vehicle over to Charlie, usually my opening strat, and then sending one of my ground troop groups to the energy core to collect that, unless my teammates are already there, in which case I'll just send them to B, and then I'll start calling in whatever I have based on cards and for support. I really need to kind of figure out, I guess, either kind of better deck or something else that I can cycle at the beginning, because there are a couple of games where my starting hand were no cards below 100 energy.
I only keep a couple of really high cards in my decks. I think the most I have in any one deck is 4. All the rest of them are low cards. And that one just happens to be, I've got, I think, 2 wraiths, and then the scarab, and 1 leader power, you know, and I'll usually, after in mid game, what I'll usually do is cycle 2 of my slots where I'll have my leader power and that scarab showing, and then I'll just cycle the other, I'll just use the other 2 positions to call in units. And if I need to cycle them, I will, you know, after the energy starts to build, which I did notice that the energy builds a lot faster. It builds faster and faster throughout the game. It doesn't stay at a set pace, at least in the beta.
Over time, it looks like it starts to increase, and then the more energy you get, the more it can increase as well.
Because I was able to call in back-to-back scarabs. I dropped one, it expired, and I immediately dropped another one.
Jeez.
And then I hit, this is when I was fighting a freaking locust.
So you needed something to kind of fight them back with.
Yeah.
So my counter to the locust in one of my games was the Trooper Hornet, which was actually very effective against ground vehicles. And I actually managed to take 1.5 of an enemy locust out before the Trooper Hornet got taken out. And then by that time, I had allies with enough firepower to knock the other locust out. But those locusts are definitely a pain, and their range is really far.
They can basically shoot on that map from pad to pad.
Pretty much. Close to it. Pretty much. there's some other tips in here that you may not have known that Max Slaggore, I think that's how you say his name, one of the 343 senior designers put with regards to Blitz. Some of them we talked about last week. There's some other ones in here I think we kind of already talked about with regards to some of the stuff that we talked in last week's podcast, but feel free to go over to the latest community update and read through those if you so desire. Before we move on, want to thank Confal for subscribing to our Twitch channel. Thank you for supporting us. We appreciate it. I think that puts our subscriber count up to 10 now. I think we've hit double digit subscribers. It's either 8 or 10. I don't exactly remember, but it's 8. So it was 7.
It's 8.
Thank you for subscribing to us. We appreciate it. We appreciate everyone's support of the streams here. Hopefully we will get into doing more streams more frequently. I've got some ideas I need to run by the team on things that we can do to change things, but until that time, we are kind of limited to Tuesday night podcasts and Friday night Fragging Fridays. But we hope to change that and make a little bit more regular broadcasts for some other things with Botacular. But until that time, moving on with the rest of the update. Over this past weekend, the Warzone Warlords playlist went live. It's 343's little experiment of bringing 12-player party Warzone back to the fray. This was a playlist that was only open for the weekend. It was kind of their first test into seeing how the playlist would do. And a couple of things with the playlist was you had to have a full team of 12. And if someone from your party dropped out, you could actually join back in progress, which is nice. Did have bonus XP that you could get. There was some other little things that they talked about with experimenting on party sizes. But as far as what they're going to keep with the normal Warzone playlist, that's going to stay with a party of 6. And they'll look at the possible outcome of what they had for the weekend for the Warzone Warlords playlist and see if they'll bring it back, which I have a feeling they'll probably bring it back. Granted, I didn't get a chance to partake in it, but I want to see if Godzilla U or maybe someone in our chat possibly had a chance to play in this playlist. Sounding by how your weekend was, maybe you didn't get a chance to?
No, I didn't.
Of course, Ericibu did.
Yeah. I will be truly honest with you. It probably isn't going to happen. My desire to be in regular Warzone has pretty much left. It's just, it's not something that I want to play anymore. You know, with Firefight, I'm happy. You know, I've got my Warzone thing that I can do with Firefight, and I don't enjoy regular Warzone anymore. You know, even when I have a group of people to play. Possibly I'll probably go start playing Assault again, because, you know, Assault, I can kind of still have fun in Assault, but regular Warzone just, unfortunately, is just not fun for me anymore. It's nothing against the game type. It just, my personal preferences, I don't enjoy it.
I agree. It kind of was something that faded out with getting just with the 12 party rollout, and now that it's kind of not there, it's kind of hard to go in with only a 6-man team. It's not really as fun anymore, it seems like.
You know, the game mode is built for 12 person teams, and I'm not faulting any of the clans other than the farmers for the, you know, just going in and smoking a bunch of randoms. Don't take it that way. The game mode it's a great game mode, but it doesn't fit the way I like to play Halo. And I'm kind of one of those guys fighting the AI and fighting, you know, actual people at the same time. From playing Warzone, I found that it's just not my thing. You know, I can either fight people or I can fight AI. I can't do both and enjoy it.
I feel you there.
Yeah, overall, 343 has done a real good job with Warzone. Yes, there are some things that need to change. I do hope they make the Warzone Warlords playlist a permanent one for the 12-person teams. From what I saw about it, there was a lot of good feedback about it from, you know, the people that had actually that I followed that posted things about it. And, you know, there were some of the better teams. Spiteful's one of them. He actually put out a video where they rolled through some teams, but they also had several matches that were challenges. And he actually posted one up on his YouTube, and I recommend you go check it out, because it was a fight for them to win it. I mean, it wasn't just a blow through it and done. They had to work to win it. And I think in long term for those type of people, I think that'll be a good thing for them, because it keeps the game challenging for them. You know, once a game gets to be too easy, you kind of lose interest in it.
Another group that we know of too is the Halo Wheelmen, and they used to go and parties, and it's respectable whenever you get rolled by someone, but they actually go for the core and take it out. It's like, okay, I had a little bit of fun. I didn't get just completely humiliated or annihilated, but it still kind of sucks. When you have that much variety in kind of Warzone, I guess kind of with the population dying down now, it's hard to find groups that will evenly match in Warzone. You have 24 people in Warzone compared to in matchmaking, you have, for a lot of the playlists, 8. And then for the bigger ones, like 10 or 16. So the breadth of skill ranges for Warzone is vastly different.
The one thing I would like to see them change when it comes to matchmaking, not necessarily just Warzone, is I would like to see the ability, at least in social playlists, to go in with a full team. You know, both sides.
You mean like completely fill out, say, an 8-man roster?
Yeah, like you used to be able to.
That would be nice.
You know, they know when you have a party of 8 people in there, and if, you know, they're worried about farming achievements, they could always set it up to where if, you know, if a party fills the lobby, then the achievements get disabled.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
There's ways around it, don't get me wrong. And we all know it. You know, you get on at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon with a bunch of your friends and you all queue up to do free for all on Halo 3 to get your achievements.
Which I still need, by the way.
And, you know, you change your language to Dutch or something, you know?
I'm not sure I'm going to do the whole language thing, but I still need those achievements.
I don't. I got them all. It was a grind.
Well, if anyone wants to help.
I would love to, but my 360 is not doing so hot.
Uh-oh.
It's having trouble with Netflix. So I need to find a new one.
Well, they're dirt cheap now.
Yeah. They're dirt cheap, and I'm out of money. You know, we got that whole EAT thing.
Who wants to start a fundraiser for getting GT another 360?
I mean, tax time's coming up, so I'll probably pick one up with my tax return. Hopefully, I can find a Reach or a Halo 4 one that is still sealed, but that's within reason of being a reasonable price.
I think there are some out there.
They're out there. They're just getting harder and harder to find.
Starting to be more and more rare. Quick little note. From a little bit earlier, Erkibu is just under 9 million XP from getting his 152, which is ridiculous. I'm at 126, and he's almost at 152.
Yeah. Oh, and he got 1 million XP just over the weekend, if anybody ever wants any idea how much he plays.
So come the end of March or April, he's going to be done. No, I'm not slacking. I'm just waiting for certain conversations to finish before addressing other things in the chat. Thank you very much. Or are you talking about slacking as in my rank?
I think he's talking about in your rank.
Oh. What's yours, Confal? What's your rank? Yeah, Eric Kibu makes a good point. The only problem he sees with 152 is Halo Wars 2.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
That is probably going to make a dent on mine.
Oh, Confal's 147.
I'm 124.
It's because I don't have as much time to play. I need to make time to play, but anyways, that's that. Back to the update. Rec feedback. There were some changes made to some of the cards. Oni Gun Goose has been reduced to 3 energy from 4 energy. The Anti-Air Wraith is the same rec energy level, but now it's more common in packs. So instead of, I think, legendary, it's now a rare. Banished.
Banshee.
Already on Halo Wars 2. Banshee and Mantis were changed from 6 to 5.
Which Mantises?
So, I guess any of them that were 6s are now 5s?
Because your baseline Mantis was already 5. And I think if you get like your Tundras and, you know, your Tundras and Mantises like that were 6.
So I guess maybe all of them are now fives? Urkibu is saying only the normals.
I think, you know, your regular one and your...
But the regular one... Yeah, the regular ones were five.
Well, no, like the tender one and, oh, the one that had the... You had your Corpse Manus, which is a level six. Oni is a level seven. Hannibal's level seven. Plane Mantis is a level five. Tundra Mantis is a level six. Same for the Urban and Woodland. When did they supposedly make this change?
From the community update. And then some of this stuff was applied on January 27th at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Well, that gives another reason to actually keep the base model of those, because usually for the Banshee, and or at least the Mantises, I'll get rid of the kind of the normal-ish ones, because there's other ones that at that same rec level, and I don't use Mantises as often, but that they're able to, like the Tundra one or the Urban one, have a little bit higher damage or a little bit higher defense, so I just keep those instead of the normal ones.
Yeah, I keep all my Mantises. I don't sell any of those. Now, Banshees I'll sell, because the only time I really use Banshees is when I pull out an Ultra or the Temple.
See, I use Banshees more than Mantises, personally.
Well, I like the Mantises, especially when you get three Wardens in the base, because I can still shoot at them from a little bit of range.
True.
And they're a lot easier to get up on that ramp than a Wraith.
I will use a Mantis in that situation, but for a lot of the other rounds, I'll use Banshees for outdoor rounds.
Yeah, Ultra Ghosts are my go-to for pretty much everything else.
Ultra Ghosts and Temple Ghosts are really nice.
I'll use the Temple Ghost after I'm out of Ultra Ghost.
Sometimes the quicker speed and the quicker firing rate makes a difference over the Ultra Ghost for me.
Well, the problem is the Temple Ghost has less defense than the Ultra, so it dies easier.
True.
The Ultra Ghost is actually stronger and will take more of a beating. Now, one of my fun things to do, like in the earlier rounds, and this is map dependent, I'll pull out an Oni Hog and I'll just park off in a corner.
I know Laird likes that strategy.
I've made it direct level 9 on one Warthog. Just, you know, cross map shooting.
I've made it direct level 9 on a Wasp, if you can believe it. So the weapons that have reduced energy cost, the River of Light got bumped down from 6 to 5. The Spartan Laser, the normal one, got bumped down from 5 to 4. And then all turrets, except for George's Chain Gun, are now level 1s. All turrets have been pulled down by 1, except George's Chain Gun, and except level 2 turrets. So at minimum, the turrets are level 2. Anything else that's higher than 2 has been brought down by 1.
Except the Oni. Or no, I guess, yeah, the Oni is now a level 5. It was a level 6.
Right.
George's is still a level 6. The Common's still a level 2. Let's see. The Splinter has dropped to a level 2, and so did the Covenant one, because those were higher, or at least the Splinter one was.
The Splinter one I know was. The Oni one was higher.
Yeah, the Oni one used to be a level 6. It was right there with George's.
Yeah. So those are changes to the rec cards for Warzone. And then there is a Team Spotlight article. And I know we haven't finished really up with the last one yet. But again, I'm going to butcher his last name. Max Slagor, I think. He was the one that gave some of the Blitz tips earlier in the article. And there's a Team Spotlight, which we haven't had a chance to read through yet. So we'll read through that and comment on it next week. So the Halo World Championship is in full effect. The St. Louis qualifiers were this past week, and there was some actually really good games that were going on. I think as far as kind of the quarters up through the finals, we had almost some full series of games. I think there were only, well, yeah, now I'm looking at, there were only two sets of games that did not go into game fives. And then the grand finals went all the way to a game 7. So there was some good Halo going on in the World Championship for the 2017 World Championship. Optic Gaming ended up pulling out the win for the grand finals for St. Louis. It was $10,000, I believe, for for the first place winners. It was 50,000 total. Maybe it was 15,000 for first place. Probably 15,000 for first place. I don't remember. So there was also a little FFA tournament, and Renegade won that in the grand finals. So we have another three events, through another three lands. There's online qualifiers that are happening. So I think actually, sorry, take that back. The St. Louis land was 2 weekends ago as of this recording. And then this past weekend was an online land qualifier. But the next land is going to be in London in the middle of February. Then there's Mexico City, and then Las Vegas in the beginning of March. And then the World Championship Finals will be in April.
Cool.
Lots of good Halo going on.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a good season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping I can go to the World Championship this year like I did last year. That should be a lot of fun. And for everyone else that's interested in the HCS side of things as well, Tashi and Strongside released another episode yesterday on Monday, January 30th. So there's a new episode of the HCS Listen-In podcast for you to go and listen to. That's available through, if you go to Halo GG, there's a link there. There's also a link on Halo Waypoint, and you can find the podcast on SoundCloud to go and download. They have Miquin and Pistola as their special guests, so catching up with Team Envious and talking to them about what they're looking forward to for the Halo Championship Series and the Halo World Championships for 2017. So check it out. I think the last one they did was actually back in September, maybe October. So it's been a while since they've actually had an episode posted. But episode 15 is now out and available for you to listen. And it's just over an hour. So go check it out. Wrapping things up, I think we're ready to move on to our submission that we got, and who will receive a Halo Wars 2 t-shirt of his choosing from Jinx from the Halo Waypoint store. And he says, this is Aroto Domido. Hope I said that right. Sorry if I butchered it. It has been years since I played Halo Wars 1. The lack of Covenant campaign still haunts me, but Atriox and his gang are a good, with six O's in there, a good substitute. Such a smooth gameplay. I spent 2 hours playing, thinking it was only 30 minutes. The matches just go. I cannot wait to see the story mode. Those amazing cutscenes and good acting. Creative Assembly outdone themselves. Cheers.
Wow.
So really, really enjoying the Banished gameplay there as a good substitute. And just kind of goes to show, and I think this kind of goes more than just Halo Wars, but even with Halo, you just play and you get in the mindset and you can just let the hours go by.
Oh yeah, there has been multiple 3 hour games in original Halo Wars.
We don't have a problem. So thank you, Aroto, for writing in. We will be contacting you and getting the shirt that you want, the size that you want, and we'll also be sending you a Prima 2 guide. So thanks for writing in.
Bonus!
Yes, bonus indeed. So thanks for writing in. And we want to start using our submissions a little bit more. So if people have anything they want to tell us as far as Halo stories and whatnot, we want to try to get this to be a little bit more back focused on the community. And especially with Halo Wars 2 kind of coming into play, we'll probably start to see a little bit later in the year a little bit more focus on community content, as we've already started to see with Halo 5, with Forge and whatnot. But we'll be kind of shifting some focus here with the podcast to start getting back into doing a little bit more community-focused segments of the show. We do a lot of news-focused stuff. Have a little itch to kind of get back into doing some community-focused segments here on the show. So hopefully that's something that we can push forward to. A couple other little tidbits as far as Halo content goes. There is a new Timmy helmet, and Halo tweeted this out a little bit earlier today, and it looks like it's tied to a certain amount of custom games being played. There isn't a foolproof way that anyone has found yet, and 343 is kind of keeping it a secret on the exact details of how you acquire the helmet, but a lot of speculation on Reddit and Twitter seems to indicate that it's more tied with how many custom games you've played. I don't know if anyone in the Twitch stream has received it yet. Some people already have it, which kind of makes it seem like it's something that is tied to some kind of game history. My two going theories are it's either a number of custom games that you've played, or it's playing a custom game on Depths, which is the Underwater Forge map that got released with the latest update. So playing a custom game on that map would be a guess. And they also mentioned that it could be acquired by playing Halo 5 on PC or Xbox. So it seems to indicate it's probably custom game related. And there's another thing on Reddit that I found where someone had the helmet pack, but they hadn't played any Forge. So it's strictly associated with custom games in some manner. It's a mystery.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to figure out what the actual combination is.
Might be a while before we find out, but I know I'm going to be playing a lot more custom games for the immediate future, at least. And I got a 4K monitor, so it's a good way to test out my 4K monitor.
Yay!
There's also the Classic Helmets Rec Pack that's going to be coming February 9th, so in 10 days from this recording. And it's going to be another standalone pack that you can either buy, probably $10, and likely going to be able to be purchasable with rec points as well. So we've seen packs in the past be 80,000 rec points, 100,000 rec points, and 120,000 rec points, I think. So somewhere in that range. And I think I personally have 56,000, so I need to work a little bit on getting my rec point reserve built up for that pack.
Yeah, I'll probably just go ahead and throw in my money. Oh, speaking of rec packs, thank you, Dust.
You're welcome.
I'm sitting here playing video games, and I get a message from Dust. There's a gold pack waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad he didn't give that to me about an hour earlier. I would have opened it on my rec opening video.
It's okay. There'll be another one, I'm sure.
But that's all right. He'll get a special mention next week. Or next
time. Yay!
Hopefully next week.
Hopefully. Depends on how much we play this weekend, right?
I was actually surprised. I was actually able to get my 10 packs in this week. I had to grind about 20,000 a night to get it done. That's why I didn't release it until the 9th. So I had to put in some Warzone. But that's all right.
Warzone's a good way to do it. They haven't said specifically yet what the cost is, but that's kind of an estimate. So once we have a little bit more information on that, we'll have a tweet out from Halo, I'm sure. But that is slated to come out on February 9th. And then we have Halo Wars 2 on February 21st.
Yay! I can't wait. It's going to be a long 3 weeks.
It is going to be a long three weeks.
Longer for you. Well, I guess you'll have your laptop with you, won't you? Haven't you replaced your laptop yet?
No, I haven't.
No? Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I don't know if it's going to run on the MacBook that I have, which is technically a work computer.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, I could try.
Maybe on ultra low settings.
Hey, I could play through the campaign and get the story mode at least, right?
You could.
I mean, I won't be playing multiplayer necessarily with being in Iceland, but I can play at least the campaign and the preload. Oh, and that's another thing too. You can already preload Halo Wars 2 on your PC.
Already done for mine.
Already done for mine too.
I actually fired up Definitive Edition on my laptop, which it's not a gaming laptop, but it's not a slouch either. And I was going through the tutorial just to kind of test it out, and it was kind of hanging up when it would load video. Gameplay, it's fine. It just, when it had to load video, it would just kind of hang there. So playing through campaign on the laptop might be interesting.
And it would be cool to actually try the Definitive Edition with mouse and keyboard. That would be nice. We'll see. I'll try it out and see if it works. If not, I'll just have to wait until I get back from Iceland on the 20th. So I fly back in on the 22nd. So it's not that I'm delayed too much, at least. Last minute things. There is a Halo 2 live stream happening on February 16th. That's going to be starting at 4 p.m. Pacific time, which is 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is midnight in England, London. And we also have a little update on how badly we did in the Halo Bowl. which we got completely wiped out. No thanks to lack of skill from my part. We were the only team that didn't win a single game in the Halo Bowl. But with that said, we did manage to not only surpass our fundraising from last year, but we managed to completely fund a Gamers Outreach go-kart. We raised $4,030 and completely met our goal, which was to just get a cart funded. So for everyone that participated in the live stream, who donated to the cause, thank you so much for coming out and supporting Gamers Outreach and the tournament. We couldn't have done this without you and without the support of all the podcasts and all the fans that support each and every one of the podcasts that participated. So even though Podtacular as a podcast did abysmally, thanks to lack of my skill, I did so bad in the tournament. But regardless of that, just thank everyone so much for all of the effort that they put into it. And I know a few of our Podtacular members won some of the prizes that were handed out during the tournament event. And yeah, as Confal was saying, the Podtacular members were the ones that won the most prizes. So Podtacular won in that respect.
Rigged.
Oh. Some people were saying rigged in the chat last Wednesday, so it very well could have been.
Yeah, I watched for about an hour or so before I had to do some other stuff, but looked like you guys were having a good time, which that's important.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a good time until we got to our third or fourth round robins. Like, guys, we're not doing too well, and I'm one of the main reasons we're not doing too well.
Yeah,
Key's backpack is only so big.
You have to get Eric Ibu in there.
I don't know if he was available. He'd probably be too busy playing Warzone, or probably was playing the Halo 2 Blitz beta instead.
Well, I was playing Blitz while I was watching the stream.
Well, thank you. But seriously, though, just the amount of support that we got and the fact that we were able to completely raise fund a Gamers Outreach go-kart is simply amazing. And we have some of the best listeners between all six of the podcasts that we have. We're just super thankful for everyone that participated and helped us accomplish what we set out to do. So thank you.
Yes, very much.
We will end this podcast with an interview that I have been forgetting to put in the last two podcasts. But this is the interview with Clay and Al, who are some of the lead developers on Halo Wars 2. And we actually recorded this interview when we were at the press event in New York for Halo Wars. So enjoy.
Hello, everyone. Dustrom here, sitting down with Mina Kraken from the Halo Wars 2 subreddit and also the Sins of the Prophets mod. And we have a few developers, Halo Wars 2, that we're talking with today. We have Clay Jensen, the design director on Halo Wars 2 from 343s. And we also have Al Hope, the creative director of Halo Wars from Creative Assembly. Not to be confused with Certain Affinity. How are you guys?
I'm good. Yeah, great. It's great to be here.
Hey guys, so I've got some community questions that I pulled the Halo Wars Reddit for, and I'd like to ask a couple of them and get responses. So, why did you feel the time was right to develop and announce Halo Wars so long after?
I can take this one. I think we have wanted. I can tell you that from 343's perspective, we have wanted to make this game pretty much since the very first game came out. It's something that has always been on our mind and has actually been probably the top requested game that we've had over the past few years. And the reason that we waited was because we were actually looking for the perfect partner to develop the game with. And when we began talking to Creative Assembly, it was really clear that that they would be the perfect partner to make the game with. And those of you familiar with the Total War series and Alien Isolation and the other fantastic games that they've put out, I think you'll agree that was the perfect fit.
It's a little bit different from the previous studio that you guys worked with, which was Ensemble Studios, well known kind of as the Age of Empires, which is also kind of Microsoft specific. So I know that they had kind of disbanded the company for a while. So what was it? What were some of the other companies that you considered, and what were some of the key things that made you choose Creative Assembly
over any other partner that you would go with?
I can't go into too much detail, I think, in terms of other people that may have been talked to. But I can go into detail on why Creative Assembly was such a perfect fit. Again, for those of you who are already Total War fans, you'll understand why that's a perfect fit. But I think from my perspective, it really is the combination of not only the experience developing really intensive, interesting strategy titles, but also actually creating genuinely engaging, immersive experiences. So, you know, Halo Wars is not just about a real-time strategy game. It's about having an epic, action-packed experience in the Halo universe. And I think that, you know, Creative Assembly, from my perspective, is such a great combination of both really deep, interesting, strategic game development, and then also really action-packed, immersive entertainment that you see in something like Alien Isolation. I think that, from my perspective, the combination of those two elements leads to a really perfect fit, because it's not just a strategy game. It's something that actually feels very kind of action-oriented and feels very immersive in itself. So, from my perspective, I think that was a really good combination.
From a Creative Assembly point of view, I think we were just really excited to be asked to make a sequel to the game that we already loved. I mean, as longstanding RTS developers, you know, we'd thought about console RTS for a long time, and I suppose likewise, you know, we were looking for a good partner or IP or, you know, idea for making that a reality. No, I think it's probably hard to talk from the inside out. I mean, it's probably easier for Clay to tell us why things were a good fit. But I think from our point of view, we only really work on games that we're really passionate about, and in universes that we really care and love. And I think you can kind of see that in the games that we make. I think part of our DNA is that kind of care and attention and kind of level of detail. And I think you can see that within our Total War games, you know, whether it's historical reality or and the kind of fantasy, you know, is really understanding the source material. If it was, you know, with Alien Isolation, it was about really understanding what it would mean to go back to a certain time and place in movie history. And I think with Halo, again, it was really, you know, it was great for us to dive into this amazing universe and you know, really understand it and to work with 343 and collaborate on expanding it. Was a fantastic opportunity. So yeah, very excited, very happy with the game we've made.
So with the release of the original Halo Wars, since then, the Halo Wars community has kind of been wandering around in the desert for almost a decade, and so there's some anxiety about post-release support. So what kind of post-release support is 343 and CA committing for Halo Wars 2?
Well, there is a lot of, I can tell you that there's a lot of content coming. And there has been great support, obviously, leading up to the launch. But the content that's going to be coming in the next year is substantial. There are new leaders, new powers, new missions. There's a lot of stuff coming in 2017. So that's something I'm very excited about, actually, is that it's not a game that is going to hit shelves and then disappear. We are doing a lot with this title and really have some interesting plans. I wish I could tell fans a little bit more about what we've got planned, but definitely stay tuned this next year. There's a lot of stuff coming.
Okay. Are there any plans for something akin to a Forge mode or the ability to view replays?
At the moment, we don't have a Forge mode. Like all of our fans, that's something that we certainly have talked about. For possible future titles, I think that's something that we'd be interested in. But okay. But we're not supporting that in this game.
Okay. And replayability, the replay.
Both of those, yeah. So at the moment, we don't have that, but that's something that we certainly would be interested in looking into in the future.
So some of the stuff that we've seen over the span of 28 years that the Spirit of Fire has been adrift, we've seen play throughout the games, and it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of ties in with the rest of the universe. But we know that this takes place shortly after Halo 5, and it's in between Halo 5 and 6. So what kind of considerations did you guys put into the campaign to kind of tie it in or relate it with the story? Or is it kind of more,
its own separate self-contained story, or is it really actually going to feed into the main line of Halo 6 when we get that next year or soon after?
Well, as you can imagine, I need to tread carefully here. No,
we ask the tough questions here.
We're always the hard Halo
fans, so.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that's something that I'm very excited about, is the fact that, for fans of the original game, who left off at the very beginning of the Halo story, now coming back 28 years later, you are very much put in the position of Spirit of Fire, because they have mysteriously showed up at the Ark 28 years later, and not having known what's happened in the interim period. So for fans, or for people who haven't played Halo before, you get to actually kind of jump into their boots and find out what's going on, and actually is a great way into the Halo story. For fans of Halo, you'll have to wait a little bit and see how that develops, but I can say that I'm very excited about the fact that the two timelines now are actually coming together. There's a lot of things happening in the campaign that obviously are leading to other events. And so you can expect to see a lot of good integration there as these two timelines come together.
So with the release of Halo Wars 2, there's going to be 343 is going to be supporting more strategy games functionally than shooter games. Is 343 embracing their role in strategy gaming to include the console and PC gaming, but as well as tabletop, because there's Halo Ground Command and Halo Fleet Battles?
Absolutely. That's something that I've been really encouraged by. I think it's something that as a fan of Halo before working with 343, that was something that I always wanted to see happen. And it's been really exciting to see us kind of branch out into that from the standpoint of actually supporting strategy games. That's very much a central pillar of the studio. And that's something for me personally that's very exciting. So you can definitely expect to see more along those lines. And we've also been working very closely, as you said, with the tabletop games that have come out this past year. I can also tell you to keep tuned to that station, because there's going to be a lot of other very cool stuff along those lines. And it's been great working with Spartan Games, actually, on both of those products. I can tell you that if you haven't played them yet, go and try them, because they are actually I happen to be a big tabletop gaming fan myself, and a longtime board game and RPG player. So, that's something that is really exciting to see develop. And there's going to be more of that to come.
That's great news. My personal interest in Halo, outside of just strategy gaming in general, are ships. And so Flea Battles is pretty exciting for me. I would encourage 343 to make a ship RTS or something of that sort.
So since we're kind of leaving Al out a little bit, I'll give this question over to...
I'm enjoying listening to all of this.
Give him some time behind the microphone. So what we definitely had kind of, as Clay mentioned kind of in the pre-brief before today, the console version of Halo Wars, since it's now Definitive Edition on PC, but the original version was kind of a breakthrough on console RTSs. So bringing it into kind of modern day and having a bunch of additional resources to use on the Xbox, how's that been for the creative team, really trying to bring more fidelity to the Halo Wars experience, and also dealing with kind of new entities now within the Halo universe with the Banished and new vehicles? How's that been kind of bringing that up to speed, and what kind of challenges have you guys had to address with bringing the Halo franchise up 28 years and then on a new platform?
It's been a fantastic experience. Like I said, when we got the call to see whether we're interested in making a sequel, the kind of the light bulbs go off, and you kind of think, wow, this is going to be great. And like you're saying, the technology's moved on, that it meant we felt like we could really do a fantastic job of realizing this amazing universe, to a really high degree of fidelity, to really create battles that actually felt epic and really super satisfying. At the same time, working alongside 343 on adding to the universe was wonderful. It would have been good if we'd kind of just got to play with the pre-existing toys, but actually to be able to work with those guys on creating the Banished, you know, a kind of new, a whole new faction with a whole new look and feel with new units, you know, coming, going on that creative journey was absolutely fantastic. And you know, and seeing people's response to it as well has been great. You know, it feels like, you know, we're not some kind of side project, kind of exotic thing. We're actually part of the Halo universe in a really strong and meaningful way. And being able to create a character like Atriox, you know, a real interesting opponent for Cutter, you know, he's probably his biggest nemesis to date. You know, this is a really merciless, brutal leader, but also, you know, a brilliant leader of men of the Banished. That was a really exciting sort of opportunity, you know, telling this new story with these new aspects of the universe and at a mechanical gameplay level, being able to add, you know, this whole section of new units was really, really exciting.
So what's been kind of one of the more difficult things that you guys have had to overcome or address when it's been come down to the development of the game?
I don't know about difficulty. I think it's just, you know, from the outset, we wanted to make an RTS that whether you had played RTS before and were a, you know, hardcore veteran, or you didn't even hadn't touched RTS before, real time strategy, and it was completely new to you. We really were, our goal was that you could get have a great experience, and so I think that was the kind of the big target for us, and that's why we have, you know, a whole suite of different modes, different ways you can play the game to find the mode which best fits your playstyle or your experience. You know, so you've got Strongholds, which is this great all-out action arcade fun. You know, it's not about the resource management, it's about the economy management. It's about selecting the right toy to go and smash into your opponent, and you can have this fantastic blast there. You know, but then you can move from there into Domination, which is all about map control. It's starting to learn about gaining resources and resources turning into more units and upgrades and powers. And then, of course, we've got the classic true test of RTS with Deathmatch, where, you know, there's all the brakes are off. It's, you know, it's you, your skill, your experience versus your opponent. And then at the same time, you know, we really were keen to look at innovating as well. And so with Blitz, we've got something that really does put a whole new spin on RTS, you know, combining real-time strategy and card collecting to create this really kind of streamlined, quick to action, fun game mode, which takes, you know, yeah, like I said, streamlines some of the complexity of RTS, but actually makes it really deep as well, because building those armies through cards actually means that you can create some really interesting ways to play strategies, really, really looking forward to everyone getting their hands on with it soon.
Okay, so one of the big features for Halo Wars as a community is the competitive sport. Is 343 CA going to be committing resources to develop Halo Wars 2 into a competitive esport?
That's something that obviously we're really interested in. And it's something that we would like to do. That's ultimately going to be driven by the community, depending on
sales numbers.
Well, and just the community response. I think if it naturally develops in that direction, we'll certainly be supporting that. It's something that we would like to do, but at this stage, we kind of need to see how many fans are going to be interested in getting really competitive with it. I suspect that there'll be quite a few.
Okay. So if the fans want to communicate that to you in an effective way, what do you think is the best way for them to come to you and say, we want a competitive esport out of Halo Wars 2?
The community team that we've got at 343 is fantastic, as you guys are probably aware. So I would say, you know, engaging with the community on Waypoint is a great way to do it. You know, I think our community team plus the team itself is always involved in the forums, or if not involved, certainly there all the time and kind of looking at what everybody is saying. And so that, from my standpoint, is probably the best way to do it, is getting engaged with the Waypoint community. posting and sending us those information, those requests. I mean, we got a huge amount of support after the beta last year. That was actually instrumental in making some adjustments and changes to the game that I'm hoping people are going to enjoy. But we do listen to that, and we're really kind of conscious of what people are asking for. So by all means, speak up, and we'll definitely see what we can do.
So wrapping up here, we know there's one more beta coming out. What's kind of the one thing that you're looking for fans to provide feedback on with this one last beta before the final release of the game?
Pre-order? No, I'm kidding.
I don't know. From my point of view, as game developers, it's just great to get the game that you've been working on and the team have been working on into the hands of players. And then, as you guys have been saying, you know, looking at the Waypoint forums or the subreddit, you know, hearing what people have to say about it is fantastic, and it all adds into, you know, where we go next. And so, you know, I think if there's a message, is just, you know, get into the beta, have a blast, enjoy it, and feedback. And, you know, and I think as Clay is saying, there's definitely people listening. So, just get involved, you know, and I think that's the most exciting thing for us.
Well, on behalf of Unikraken, this is Duststorm for Podtacular, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
So that was our interview with Clay and Al. I want to thank them again, if they're somehow listening to this show, of doing the podcast with myself and Unikraken from the Spirit or the Sins of the Prophets mod. It was cool to actually kind of double up and do kind of a joint interview. Sadly, it did not grant us like an extra time frame that we wanted to do. So we were kind of teaming up because we wanted to do, instead of a 15, 20 minute interview, maybe like a 30 to 40 minute interview, but they didn't let us have that.
Oh, they didn't let you cheat.
No, they didn't. But it was still nice of them to have us out there and be able to get a little early look at Blitz. And we also got to look at some campaign as well. Really appreciate the support that they gave us with letting them be on the podcast. And hopefully we will hear more from them in the future. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks everyone for tuning in, especially those on Twitch. We have a pretty good turnout tonight. So thanks everyone for tuning in. I think we had a couple of new people that dropped in as well. So for anyone that came on over, thanks for listening to us. You can find us on social media, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Discord. We're in a bunch of different places. And if we have it, just go to podtacular.com/whatever it is and you will find it. We're going to try to keep a little bit more on top of having a competitive Podtacular team. So if you're interested, let me know. I'm going to try to keep it to Podtacular Spartan Company members as much as possible. But if you're in the Podtacular Club as well, it'll be open to you to participate. It's so if we kind of get involved with any other community tournaments like the Halo Bowl or anything else in the future, that we have a team that can represent Podtacular that's not my crappy skill that is at the moment. Because I admit, my shot was horrible over the past 3 weeks. And I don't think I was playing Halo 5 nearly as much as I was before the first Halo Bowl. So my skills were just on the floor.
I have good days and I have bad days. That's why I don't compete. Because I guarantee you, if I compete, that will be a bad day.
You may have actually done better than I was doing last Wednesday. That's how bad I was doing.
You forget to wonder why I wasn't playing Halo 5 and watching the stream. Because I'd already been in Halo 5 and lost 3 straight SWAT matches, like 50 to 10.
Okay.
And, yeah. You know, when your total deaths as a person is higher than you actually scored, that's bad.
Yeah, that's not too great. But you had fun, I guess, at the start, right?
Yeah.
I was doing bad, though.
It was for a good cause. You took it for the team, their dust.
This is true. But you can check us out on our social medias there. Make sure you check us out on Tuesday nights for the podcast on Twitch. We record every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And then on Fridays, Godzilla T hosts his game lobby, and that goes on from 8:30 Eastern time till about 10:30, 11 o'clock, depends on how many people there are, depends on kind of what the momentum is with people playing Warzone or Customs, whatever.
And if I have to work on Saturday.
That too. Real life does become a priority in those instances, doesn't it?
Yes.
We're also part of a podcast network, which includes Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then there's also Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. You can check out those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. That is P-O-D-K-A-S-T. So instead of a C, there's a K. Or you can go over to podka.st and that will redirect you. The great podcast to listen to, especially if you're interested in those particular games. If you're not and just want something to pass the time, they're also very well produced and have personalities that are, in my opinion, very favorable and very good to listen to. So I would definitely recommend checking them out if you're looking for some other podcasts to load up onto your podcast player. Either help pass the time, or if you're interested in those podcasts and the games that they cover, then definitely check them out and let them know that we sent you. We'll be back next week with hopefully a little bit more Halo Wars 2 information and maybe a little bit more Halo 5 Guardians DLC stuff. But depending on how much stuff we get next week, we may kind of move and transition into a little bit more community focused stuff. So stay tuned to our Twitter and the website. And until then, we will see you online. Thanks for checking us out, everybody.
Run, little Spartans.